This evening, I wanted to talk about six wonderful things. And the moment one truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the six wonderful things happen. God causes these things to happen at that very moment of salvation. But no one but God, of course, can do one single thing of these six wonderful things. So let's pray as we look at these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful thing it is that we can have salvation through him. And then, Lord, we know that you bestow many things upon us after that, and we thank you for these things. We pray that we might learn from your word, and Lord, this evening that we might be moved by your word, Lord, to if there's some here that don't know the Saviour, that they might know him even tonight, and Christians might be encouraged and strengthened. And Lord, if there be some here that are Christians that are not, Father, walking with you as they should, that you could help them also. So we pray these things now and ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yes, the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, God forgives us of all our sins. So we're forgiven. And he does this. He doesn't do this to anybody. It's only those that accept his Son as the Lord and Saviour. And, of course, there's no other name whereby this can happen. If you could turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says there, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, it's only through the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be saved. And he's the one that saves us. From the uttermost. And it doesn't matter how big a sinner you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, the Lord Jesus can save you from all sins. In Acts 13:38, if you turn over there, it says in there, 13:38, it says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." You see, there's no other way. It's only through faith and putting our faith in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, that we can be justified before God. And of course, God remembers these sins no more. We know the devil might remember them and our mind might remember them, but God remembers them no more. You know, some people are plagued by thoughts even, and thoughts keep coming up in your mind about things of the past, but God remembers those things no more. So we need to put them aside too and realise that the enemy is only trying to disturb your mind and try to get your mind off the things of God. So he remembers them no more. In Hebrews 10:17 it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So, you know, if we put them aside properly, you know, after a while we will forget about them. They will go if we are persistent at putting them away. He also gives us Jesus Christ's own goodness. You know, not our goodness, but the Lord Jesus' goodness. We are in Christ, and in him we are perfectly good in God's sight. God looks at us the same as he does on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn over to Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, it says in there, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." And then in Romans 5:18 it says, "Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Isn't it good that we take on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, when God looks at us, he sees the Son. He sees the Son's righteousness in us. And he doesn't see the things that we've done in the past. These things are gone and remembered no more. And we must realise that he is seeing the righteousness of his Son in us. In 2 Corinthians over there, it tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "Therefore he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And an interesting verse that I was looking at also was in Jeremiah 23:6 in the Old Testament. And you might like to look at this later, but I just wrote it down here in my notes. It says, "And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Even back then in the Old Testament, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ way back then, way back in Jeremiah, you know, nearly 700 odd years, I think, 600 BC, I think, something like that. Jeremiah wrote those things. It's interesting that we have his righteousness. When we sin again, of course, we can ask God for forgiveness. And he will at once forgive us because Jesus Christ is our Saviour. As simple as that. We must continue to ask for forgiveness every day. We should be cleansing ourselves from things and so that our fellowship remains. Everybody knows that verse in 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Even though we have the righteousness of Christ, we do things that don't please him, and we need to be cleansed of these things so that they don't take a hold and take our joy and peace away. The second thing, we become God's children, a child of God. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we have another birthday. God works a miracle in us that we are newborn children of God. You could turn to John, if you like, there in John 1. There'll be a couple in there in John. And it says there in John 1 and verse 36, it says, John 1 chapter 3 and verse 36, if I can find it, "He that hath believed on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And then down in 1 John 1:12 it says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And of course, when we... The first verse I read out of order there, it says there that when we receive eternal life, we receive a new nature. We get a new nature as well. And that's part of the gift of becoming one of God's children. God becomes our real heavenly Father, and we can pray to him and call him our Father which art in heaven. It says also in 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold..." 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You see, it doesn't even appear what we shall be. I don't think we realise just the greatness of the reward, what's going to happen in the future when the Christ does come and we are caught up in the air forever to be with him, that it's going to be a much greater than what we imagine in our mind. You know, Paul said that he couldn't describe the things that he's seen when he was caught up there. It's something so mighty and great that we cannot fathom its greatness. And these things... You know, that that are going to happen to us. We have a wonderful future ahead, and therefore, that's why we have to be about the Lord's business now. That's why we have to have our lives right in the sight of God, so that He will, as we are caught up, we're not going to be ashamed in His sight. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be, suddenly the Lord comes, and then there's things in our life that aren't right. And we think, oh my goodness, you know, He's meant to be my Heavenly Father, and I haven't set this right before He's come, and I'm caught out, you know, I could have done a lot better in my walk. And I think there's going to be a lot of that. And say, why didn't I do more? Or why didn't I change this? Or why didn't I take this step of faith to do these things? You see, we have the opportunity now. We must take it now. God doesn't want us to mess around. He wants us to get into the work and to tell others and to get our lives right. Once you start getting your life right, you won't hold back. You'll go out and tell. You want to tell people. But if there's something holding you back, you won't want to speak, because you know that that there's a little problem there and you're not going to speak out. But when we have a Father like that, He's going to hear our prayers and He's going to answer us if we come to Him in prayer. In Luke 11, you could just turn over there to Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 2, it says there, "And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth, thy will be done in heaven as on earth." It's going to all change. I'm not going to read all through there, but Matthew 6:6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, we spoke about prayer here on Wednesday night, and there's no glory in prayer. You know, you go to your Father, it's a humbling thing, prayer, because you're talking to the Father, and He wants us to talk to Him like a Father as we speak with Him. And we have the wonderful privilege of Him being our Father. He said, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If it's the Lord's will, He'll certainly do it." And then, of course, we are heirs of God. For all that God owns belongs to His children. We're His heirs. So we're part of what He has. In Romans 8:17, if you turn over there with us, in Romans 8 and verse 17. It says there, "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Yes, we are heirs with Him, and we will be one day glorified together. And then the third thing is that Jesus Christ actually comes into our heart. When we've accepted Him, He enters in heart. Jesus Christ is in heaven, but He's also in our hearts if we've accepted Him as our Lord and Saviour. And that's what the Bible teaches. You could turn there in Colossians. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read about that. It says, if I can find it, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, Christ is in there. We cannot live right, so the Lord Jesus Christ has come to live in us, so that we can live right. Galatians, just turn back to Galatians there in chapter 2 and verse 20. It says in there, chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." See, we cannot love people the way we should, but the Lord Jesus loves them through us because He's in there. And he's able to do that through us. And he wants to love the people. And he wants us to show the love through him. Ephesians, you can go back there to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. It says in there, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." He does this when we say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I will do anything you want me to do and really mean it." He doesn't do it if you don't mean it. We should expect him to keep us from doing wrong in our lives. He'll help us not to do wrong. It's only our own will or our old man that wants us to do those things, and we have to resist that in Christ's name. In Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." If we're living by grace, which is the desire and power to do the will of God, he gives us that desire, that inward desire and power to overcome the problems in our life. And then the fourth thing that God gives us, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in everyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ. If you haven't believed, he won't be there. And you won't have the assurance of salvation if he's not there. I know that because that's what happened to me, as I've told you before, that I knew the Spirit of God wasn't there. And therefore, there wasn't any real assurance. And that could be, you might be the same. If the Holy Spirit's not entered in, if he's not in your life, if you haven't really accepted Christ, you're not going to have any of these things. And you certainly won't have the assurance of salvation. It's not any weird feelings or anything like that. But it's a spiritual type assurance in your heart that he's there. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" You see, we are the temple of God. We must think about that when we're out there. That how can you pollute the temple of God? We have to be careful as we, look after our temples. We can have the assurance of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. By the Word of God, it tells us here in Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." See, we have that inner witness he gives to us. He dwells in us to help us honour Christ and to trust him and not ourselves. The Holy Spirit will always glorify the Son and not himself. And he indwells in us to help us to honour Christ. In John 16:14, it says there, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And, of course, he's come to guide us when we don't know what to do. That's why the Holy Spirit's there also, is to guide us into all truth. It's wonderful that we have that. John, you could turn to John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. And it says there, 16:13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come." There's a couple of things in there. He is the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of error. There's so much error today. So much untruth, we have to sort it all out, all the untruths that are about. And, you'll find that it's very easy to get sucked into some of the untruths we hear of today. And we have to be careful that we don't. But the Holy Spirit, through using the Word, will filter everything through there, and he'll guide you into the truth. He's come to give us power so we can succeed in the work that the Lord wants us to do. We draw our power from Him. And we don't get it from fancy things, fancy preachers, and you know, we think, we're doing a great job and all that. No, the power comes from the Holy Spirit. And we have to rely on the Spirit of God to do these things. That's why we have to have things right in our lives. That's why we need to be in prayer all the time. That's why we're to be in fellowship. And the more we see the day approaching, we must be in this fellowship. But He will give us the power to succeed in our spiritual walk and in reaching out to others. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We should trust Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to do exactly what they came in us to do. We should trust in that. Trust in God when we believe that He tells us in Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." See, we have to have faith that the Holy Spirit's there to do these things. We have to step out in faith and reach out. You know, sometimes you reach out in fear and trembling, but if you've got the Holy Spirit there who's giving you the power, then we step out in faith, knowing that He's going to help us. We don't shy away and think, I don't think I'm going to be any good. If you've got that feeling, that attitude, you won't be any good. The Lord wants us to be positive and take these steps of faith, and He can use us. Now, the fifth thing of one of these wonderful things that He gives us, we receive a guardian angel. You know, not many people talk about angels these days, but we'll see from the Word of God that that's true. God takes special care of His children, and angels guard them night and day, we're told. In Matthew 18:10, you just turn over there, in Matthew 18:10, it says there, "Now take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And, the angels are with the little ones. There's no doubt they're with us too, and they don't leave us. They're taking care of us. The angels, it says in Psalm 34:7, "The angels of the Lord encamped around about them that fear Him and deliver them." I can remember a man I know, he came from up, actually, the Yakandanda Assembly up there, and this man had an accident out on the road. He had a truckload of cattle, and he was driving the truck into a T section, and just over the T section was a hill. And when he got to the T section, he looked both ways, and no one was coming. And Ian's fairly a bit slow on it sometimes, and his reaction sometimes. But he looked both ways again, and no one was coming. Then he moved off in the truck, but it takes a fair while to get the truck going, you know, this big truck with all the load of cattle on it. And by the time he got it going, this semi was really speeding over the hill, and he came over and T-boned him and slammed straight into the truck. And it sprung him out of the truck. He went right out of the truck, not on the driver's side, but the passenger side. And how I know this is because he rang me up straight away. He said, "My brother sent me home." He said, because, you know, there's cattle killed and all sorts of, you know, the truck was wrecked and everything. And I said, "Well, how come you got out of it all right?" He said, "What happened was that when I went out the passenger," he said, "I slid right across the seats. I never had a seatbelt on. Went straight across the seats, slid out, and I landed on my feet in the middle of the road, you know." I thought, "What?" You know, like, "Yeah, I was standing up." He said, "I never even fell over." He said, "I just landed, boom, on my feet." And I said, "Well, if the angels weren't looking after you," they must have been looking after you that day. And But that's, you know, we do have angels, and of course God uses them to help us in all different ways. I don't know how many times, you know, perhaps someone's told me, you know, they could have been in an accident or they just missed that by this and so on. You know, God, we can't see all that. We don't know. But, you know, we know that He's looking after us. And we know that, you know, these things are there. In you know, the Lord, of course, is ready to supply all our needs. He wants to supply our needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So He'll never forsake us, no matter how great our troubles are. And in Hebrews, you could turn over there, in Hebrews 13:5, it says there, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, it doesn't matter where we are, what situation we're in. God is, you know, He's there, and He's got His angels there, the Holy Spirit's there. All of these things are there helping us in the situation. It's exciting when you get into a situation, and I get in those situations at times, and I think, boy, how's the Lord going to get us out of this one? Because, you know, we're stuck here. Something's gone wrong, or you're trying to find a parking place or something, you know, or where you're going to go and things like that. And all of a sudden, it opens up. The Lord has opened it up. But we've got to be there to know, to take the place He's opened up for us. And of course, He's there even right to the very end, right till when we die. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. The sixth one is, our names are written in heaven. No one but God can write our names in heaven. And that makes it sure that we are going to heaven. He has written our names in heaven. Just turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Luke 10:20, it says there, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." We can rejoice about that our names are written there. In Revelation 20:15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Here's a warning. It says there, "But whosoever was not found written in the book of life." You see, if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in the book of life, aren't we? That's where we are. And but those that aren't in that book, it says there that they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Is there something? Maybe there's someone here that hasn't put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And that's, you know, this is God's word, not my word, but what God is saying about the lake of fire. What a terrible thing if we're trying to bluff our way through the Christian life and we think, well, you know, I'm going to just make out I am, and that'll be good enough. It won't be. There's people that have tried that and it failed. They never had any peace while they were doing it, and when they did come to their senses about it, they accepted the Lord, it was all good. They had peace. I know that people like that. I know that people try to think that they can get away with it. But it's going to come. And there are people that we know around about us that some of us here are not doing anything about it. We're not interested in saving their souls from the lake of fire. They're going to be cast in there. That's what God says. And if we don't move, who's going to move? We must think about these people. You know, you think about what a terrible end it will all be for those sort of folk. What a terrible end it would be for you to be sitting under and hearing the word of God and not take any notice of it, when we should be saved and on our way to heaven. It says here, our name's written in heaven. It says here in 1 John, that chapter 5, it says there, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And then he goes on, and these are reassuring words here. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This should make us happy. No one can be truly happy who is not sure that he's saved. You can't really be happy if you're not sure. In Philippians 4:4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, we can rejoice in our salvation. But if we haven't got salvation, there's going to be no rejoicing. There's going to be no none of these things. There's going to be no peace. We didn't become saved by being good, but by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is how we got saved. We're not kept saved by being good. We could never be good enough, because we are in the Lord Jesus. We by believing that we are saved. You see, if we really believe, there'll be action from you. I don't know where everybody is in their life here, but I know one thing, that without Christ in your life, you're not going to have that peace. And I'm thinking there's probably someone here like that. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart here. I don't know all of you well enough to know these things. But I know one thing, that God gives us these six wonderful things. And if you're without these wonderful things, then there's simply need to call on the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you even now, even tonight. And if you're a Christian, you're here, and you're lacking in these, you know, lacking in putting to work, putting yourself in the work of the Lord, because there are things hindering you, then it can be changed simply by confessing those things and getting it right with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the six wonderful things that do come. We thank you that our sins are forgiven. We thank you, Lord, that we have these wonderful gifts that you give us, and only you can give us. We thank you our names are written in heaven. And Lord, that the Lord Jesus comes into our heart, and we have the Holy Spirit there. And we know you've given us so many things. Help us to give back the things that, Lord, that you would want of us. Help us to be servants for you. And Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Saviour, we pray that they might do something about it even this evening. So we pray and ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.